So why did episodes of Star Wars 3, 4, and 5 come out before episodes 1, 2, and 3? Because in charge of directing, Yoda was. Why is Yoda such a good gardener? He has a green thumb. And then this one is from Billy. She shared this with me on Facebook. What is Yoda's last name? Leihihu? Yoda Leihihu. I thought that was good. Yeah, share your jokes with me on Facebook. They can only get worse, right? So today we're going to go into part 3 of our series on Philippians, Joyful Unity. And we're going to read in chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. We'll be in the New Living Translation. If you want to follow along in that in your app, you can. Or if you have a different version you want to follow along, we're going to read verses 12 through 18 as we dig into God's Word this morning. So we're going to begin in chapter 1, verse 12. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice. So in this letter, the Philippians were genuinely concerned about Paul and his well-being. They had sent Epaphroditus to check on him. They gave him a gift for his ministry and for his time to help him ease his burden. And so it's only fitting that Paul starts this letter by saying, this is what's going on with me. Now, he doesn't go into a lot of details. We have a lot of questions about really what's going on with Paul, and he doesn't share those details because that's not really what matters to Paul. What really matters to Paul is that these terrible circumstances are upon him, but these terrible circumstances are actually advancing the cause of the gospel. And so because of these circumstances, he is able to share the gospel even more so, and so therefore he's rejoicing. So let's dig a little deeper into this opening passage here and see what Paul's really telling us. So in verse 12, he calls them brothers and sisters. He does this because he wants to remind them that they belong to the same family, the family of God. They are closely and lovingly related to each other. They're not related by birth, but they're related because of their faith in Christ. They're related because of their shared conviction for sharing the gospel. They have a commitment to doing God's will, and that brings them together as a family. Paul refers to Christians as brothers and sisters 133 times in his letters. It's an important concept for him. That even when we're different, and even though we are different people and have different personalities and different this and that, when it comes down to it, if you're a believer in Christ, we are brothers and sisters together, united as a family. And so it's important to Paul that they remember that and that we remember that. That we are family in spite of our differences, in spite of our disagreements. We are family. Even when he talks about those later in this passage that are preaching the gospel but are doing so with impure motives, he still refers to them as family. He still refers to them as brothers and sisters. And so this is important to remember that in spite of our differences, if you believe in Jesus, we are brothers, we are sisters in Christ. Paul says that everything that has happened to him has helped spread the good news. In the Greek, the word missing from the New Living Translation that is in the New NIV is really, or it can also mean rather. And so what he says is, he says that what has happened to me has really, or rather, served to advance the gospel. And so this is a surprise to the Philippians. Because if you think about it, Paul is in prison. He's suffering personally. All these negative things are happening to him. And so for many people, they would just be like, hey, I'm in prison. I'm done. My ministry is over. But for Paul, rather than stopping his ministry, it's actually advancing his ministry. It's actually doing good things for his ministry. because he's being able to spread the news to even more people. The suffering that Paul is experiencing in prison and in this situation is actually furthering the gospel, which is something that they wouldn't expect to hear. You wouldn't expect to hear that the gospel is growing because the primary person spreading it is now in prison. And he doesn't give details about what's going on. He doesn't give details about his troubles. But what he does say is that his troubles have actually been turned into advantages for the Lord's sake. The Lord has used his troubles to further the message of the gospel, and this in turn has caused Paul to be joyful. It actually says that his ministry and his spreading of the gospel have advanced the gospel, not hindered the gospel. And so the word for advance is literally progress. And that word is used in military terms for the person or people that go before an attacking army and clear the trail. And so Paul is seeing himself as clearing a new path for the gospel. He is pioneering this message of the gospel. Even though he's in chains, even though he's in prison, he is forging a new path and a new way for people to spread the message of the gospel. His imprisonment is not the end of his ministry. It's just another opportunity to win souls for Christ. His private concerns about his well-being are not what matter to him. What matters to him is the gospel, and the gospel at all costs. He says in verse 13 that everyone here, including the palace guard, knows that he's in chains simply because he's a follower of Christ. They know he hasn't committed any true crimes. They know that he is there because of the gospel. And so because of this fact, he's still having an impact, even though he's in prison. The majority of the believers in this city, in fact, have been encouraged by him, by his attitude, by his joyfulness, by his unwillingness to stop spreading the gospel. The majority of the believers are encouraged by this, and they're emboldened to share the gospel even more. Paul says that these chains that he's in are because of Christ, literally in Christ, and he sees himself participating in Christ's suffering by being in chains. And just as though Jesus' suffering furthered the message of the gospel, furthered the hope, Paul's suffering does the same. It furthers the gospel. It furthers the spread of the good news. If we look at Paul's imprisonment in Jerusalem, which is in the book of Acts, we see that he's shut away, and many thought that was the end of his ministry. But his imprisonment there served a purpose, and it spread the message of the gospel to higher levels of society, into the ears of those who never would have heard the message otherwise. Roman military officers and soldiers heard the message of the gospel. Two Roman governors, Felix and Festus, along with King Herod Agrippa and their wives, all heard about Paul's faith. One of the governors, over a span of 2 years, would send for Paul just to hear him talk about his relationship with Jesus. Paul's imprisonment was not the end of his ministry. It was just another chapter, a different chapter. Warren Wiersbe said, "The same God who used Moses' rod, Gideon's pitchers, and David's sling used Paul's chains. Little did they realize that the chains they affixed to his wrists would release Paul instead of bind him." Not only has Paul been able to use these chains to advance the gospel, it has empowered the rest of the believers to also spread out and boldly share their faith. In fact, in verse 14, he says that most of them have gained confidence and boldness. Literally, they've been given courage and fearlessness. See, the enemy thought that by putting Paul in chains, this would slow the message of the gospel. He's the primary proponent of the gospel spreading to the Gentiles at this point. And so the enemy thinks, let's put him in jail. That'll shut him up. But instead of doing that, it's actually caused the gospel to spread further. It didn't slow him down. The opposition has come, and he's used that opportunity to spread the gospel even further. The people were challenged by his example, seeing how even in chains, he was able to proclaim the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that encourages them to do the same. If Paul can do it in prison, heck, we can do it. We're not in prison. We can share the gospel. But in addition to those who were encouraged, there was a small group of people that Paul mentions that are preaching the gospel still, but they're preaching with impure motives. Paul still calls them brothers, so we're not talking about the Judaizers from Galatia who are adding things to the gospel. We're talking about true brothers and sisters in Christ, but they're preaching because they have some animosity toward Paul himself. There's something about Paul that they don't like. Whether it's a turf thing, he came into their city and now is seen as the leader, and so they're upset about that, or whatever the issue is, we don't know. Paul doesn't go into detail. But they're preaching for the wrong reason. They're preaching because they're against Paul. But Paul doesn't get petty. Paul doesn't get upset that they're preaching against him as opposed to preaching with him or being encouraged by him. He's excited and joyful because they're still preaching the gospel. And you might think, well, that seems weird, right? Like someone with impure motives still preaching the gospel? But I don't think we have to think too far in contemporary society to see some of the preachers maybe that are on TV or on the radio that we may not think are preaching with pure motives. There may be other motives there behind why they're preaching or why they're doing what they're doing. But Paul says the point is they're spreading the gospel. And so if they're spreading the gospel, that's what matters. We know they're trying to get people to follow them as opposed to following Paul, but he doesn't let that distract from the message of the gospel. One group of people were inspired by Paul. One group of people were enraged by Paul. They wanted Paul out of the church altogether. But Paul says, that doesn't matter. These differences that we have don't matter. What matters is we're keeping our eye on the ball, keeping the gospel and Jesus Christ center and focused. In verse 18, again, he says that their motives don't matter as long as they're preaching Christ. He was focused on the big picture. And really, he thought, if animosity towards him caused people to go out and preach more, then go for it. That was Paul's attitude. You're going to get ticked off at me and your response is going to go preach the gospel? Have at it. I mean, how exciting that you're preaching the gospel. I don't care what your motivation is as long as you're spreading the gospel. And that's what Paul took his delight in. Now, this does not mean that Paul doesn't think that the character of a preacher matters and that the motives ultimately do matter. He talks about that in many of his other books. That the character of us as followers of Christ does matter. But in this particular situation, the reason they're preaching was against Paul himself. And so Paul says, hey, if you're against me, but you're still preaching the gospel, go for it. Go for it. When God's word is preached, we see in Paul that it overcomes the difficulties that are faced. And it has the power to change lives. And that is what matters to Paul. Not what other people think about Paul. What people think about Jesus. If we look at how this short passage applies to us today, it's really quite simple when you look at it. Every circumstance that we face, either positive or negative, should be used to spread the gospel. Whatever comes at us in life, positive or negative, we should be asking, how can we use this situation to spread the gospel? How can we use this situation to further the cause of Christ? Do we let our circumstances derail us from spreading the gospel? Or do we see them as opportunities to spread the gospel even further? Do we let our situation rob us from the joy that we find in Christ? Or do we see them as another opportunity to spread the gospel? And really, we have to stop and think. You know, we think about this in the negative, like when bad things happen. But when good things are happening, we also have to be convicted to spread the gospel. Are we using our lives to further the message of Christ? Are we looking for opportunities in our lives to tell people about Jesus? That's a convicting thought. And it needs to be more than a thought. It needs to process us and move us into action. Because that's all that Paul was about. And he didn't let prison stop him. What's stopping us from telling people about Jesus? Are we in chains? Are we in prison? No, we're living rather comfortable lives compared to most of the rest of the world. Yet our comfort doesn't mean that God is pleased with how we're spreading the gospel. That's not a sign of blessing by God. No matter positive or negative, we need to be focused on spreading the gospel. And I'm not pointing a finger at you without pointing fingers back at myself. Because we all need to take this to heart. If we truly believe in Jesus, if we truly believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that all might be saved, then why aren't we telling people about it? Why aren't we living our lives in such a way that people notice that we're living for Christ instead of living for the world? We have to stop and think, what's most important in our lives? And if it's not Jesus, then our priorities are out of whack and we need to do something. Because Paul, he's doing it in prison, in chains. We're not in prison, we're not in chains, and some of us aren't doing it. And that's a problem. Paul speaks of all circumstances in relation to the gospel. Paul says, if the gospel is being preached, then I have joy. And so no matter our circumstances, if the gospel is being preached, if Jesus is first in our lives and we're sharing that message of hope and love and reconciliation with the world, then we can have joy in those situations, no matter what is going on. Even when we're the object of people's ridicule and scorn, even when we have those personal attacks against us, we can say, those are personal attacks against us, but is the gospel still getting spread? Is the gospel being promoted, advanced? Then, by all means, let them attack me. Don't let them attack Christ. Paul doesn't hold a grudge here. He focuses on the good that's being done. And that's what we need to be focused on. What good can come of the personal attacks? What good can come out of the negative situations that we have? What good can come out of the positive situations that we have? Where is our focus? Paul also demonstrates in this passage that we should look for believers that are doing this, that are living their lives focused on Christ, and celebrate them and use them as examples, just as we're supposed to use Paul as an example. By seeing how other believers are dealing with life around the world, that are being persecuted day in and day out just for having a Bible or just for praying or just for going to church or just for professing faith in Christ, we should be encouraged by that and say, you know what, if they can do that there, I mean, it's almost embarrassing to think about what they would think about if they came and saw how we lived and the freedoms that we have and what little we do with that freedom for the sake of the gospel. Examples of people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Karl Barth, who in Nazi Germany stood up for Christ. One was exiled, one was executed. They stood up to the Nazis. We don't have that situation here. We need to celebrate those men and women who have stood up for Christ and learn from their example. And it's convicting, guys, when we look and see what people around the world are suffering, how they're suffering for Christ. And we come in here with our air conditioning and our heat and sit in comfortable chairs, and what are we doing? Where's our focus? Paul is joyful because God's gospel is being spread. The gospel is advancing. And we too can find joy in the midst of our suffering when we fulfill our calling as ambassadors for Christ. The gospel is still advanced today through the weakness and suffering of individuals. And it doesn't make the suffering good. Suffering is not a good thing. But we can see how God can use even the bad things, even the sinful things, to further the message of the gospel. We should still work to alleviate suffering when we see it. But we're alleviating that suffering in response to the call that God has placed on our hearts for the gospel. We're doing that to advance the gospel. And just because we don't see the suffering doesn't mean it's not there. Our worldly success or our worldly comfort is not an indicator of whether or not we are following God's will for our lives. You can see the example both ways of people who are experiencing great blessing and experiencing great suffering. And that's irrespective of how they're following Christ. That's not the indicator. The indicator is, what is God saying to us? Are we furthering the gospel, regardless of our circumstances? Paul's primary source of joy was to see the gospel spread at any cost. And what would it look like if that was our focus? What would it look like if we as a church and we as an individuals were so focused on spreading the message of the gospel that that's what we were known for? That the gospel was first in our individual lives and in our corporate lives. What would that look like? That would bring joy to us because we would know that we are furthering the gospel the way that Paul did and the way that God has called each of us to do. So what are we living for? What are we focusing our life on? What's really motivating your decisions? Because if it's not the gospel, then our priorities are out of whack. And we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves and make sure that we're realigning our priorities with the priorities of Paul, which is following the gospel, spreading the gospel, advancing the gospel. Because in the end, that is what matters. It matters that people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's what matters. Are we living our lives that way? Are we living our lives believing that and acting that? That's what matters. This week, pray about that. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing as followers of Christ? Paul's doing it in prison. Are we doing it in our comfort? Something to think about, and not only think about, but then make changes and act upon.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the contact us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.